Access and Local Origination Programming with two R's to order on Monday, November the 11th at 5:34. Real quickly, before I turn it over to the city manager, are there any changes to the regular council agenda for the evening?
Mayor, I have one change I would ask you consider, which is the tabling of item K3.
Okay. We will talk about pulling K3 then and amending the agenda. Thank you. Anything else? Hearing no other changes to the agenda, Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor, council members, and members of CALIP, this review of the Committee for Access and Local Origination Program is consistent with the FY20 work plan, where we have a project that the Mayor and Council approved of meeting and reviewing all of the board's committees and commissions. So, CALIP, you're up. CALIP was created for studying the educational and cultural programming needs of University City and encouraging development of programming that would enable the city to meet those needs. It's a seven-member board that's appointed by the council. There are three ex officio members, one being the council member liaison, University City School District member, as well as a member from the Higher Education Consortium of Metro St. Louis. Their funding source, any funding for CALIP at this point would need to be generated from the city. It will operate on the city's fiscal year. It's able to issue grants. It's also able to apply for grants. It has the power to collect whole managed funds appropriated to CALIP. Their responsibilities includes primarily the drafting of a five-year plan that focuses on educational and cultural cable casting programs. Also is responsible as a part of the development of that plan to host a public hearing, so is the council before and after its creation. Any questions that you have? The CALIP, as far as the codes that govern the CALIP commission, isn't very exhaustive, but I'd respond to any questions that you might have. After the question and answer period, I've been asked to present a short video, one that was funded by CALIP, for your viewing.
Sorry, apologize. Are there any questions? I see Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor. I just have two questions, and that is CALIP currently accepting applications, and what funding is available for in CALIP right now?
I can respond to your second question, which has to do more with the funding that's available. I believe it's around $289,000 from what I can recall off the top of my head, $69,000. With regards to the accepting of applications, I will turn that over to the chair for CALIP, Ms. McQueen.
Ms. McQueen.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Hi, David.
Traditionally, we've done grant rounds. But currently, we are not in a grant round. We'll probably be discussing that at our next meeting that's going to be in January. One thing that you don't know is that we have changed the amount of times that we meet. Instead of monthly, we're going to be meeting quarterly. So our next meeting is going to be in January. I believe it's going to be like the fourth Tuesday. So we changed the bylaws for that. And what we're looking at is we're looking at not traditional, like, full-length film, documentaries. We're looking at smaller films, something that could probably could be even shot on an iPhone. And I think that's what was done with the last round that we had. And I would actually refer to my colleague here, Rick, because he came up with the idea of smaller films. So that's where we are right now.
Yep, push the button in the middle and then swing her down toward you.
Oh, there you go. Okay, so Calip has kind of been in a change. I joined Calip last year. We've had some changeover of people, but also since Calip was originated, video, social media has completely changed over the last 20 years. So our last round of grants was designed to get short films that told a University City story. We want to make it more focused on University City, both in learning about video, but also in telling University City stories, but making videos that were shorter, less investment, smaller grants, but also something that can be used on social media to promote University City as well as to promote Calip. And so the grant process that we did last year was around that. For 3 to 5 minute videos, we did six of them. We did six grants of five grants of $3,000, one grant of $1,500, and we got some nice videos in, and that was a start. We now have those in place, and now we're discussing if we're going to repeat that program or what we need to do and put a plan forth, because when Calip was started, the whole world was different. No one could shoot a video on their phone like they can today and do the editing. So Calip is in a transition place, but we have our first videos that were done in short format in how many years?
Since the last one?
Yeah, since the last full-length
one. If you're going to have a conversation, you've got to have your microphone on.
Oh.
I think since probably 2 years, when we went through this round, it was 2018. The last time we really did a grant round, which was the traditional way, was like 2016.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Mr. Clay.
Yes. Thank you for the presentation, and thank you for the commission for being here and your work. Two questions, and I know I've been told this before. The funding source for Calip is what?
The funding source is the money that we got when we used to have a relationship with the cable companies in order to have the right of way.
Correct.
It
was a dollar a month
per
customer.
Okay. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. But Nash, they were able to stop that. There was something that happened nationally, and that they were able to stop that funding source.
And my second question does relate to the earlier conversation about social media. There are all these video platforms now, and I think you were alluding to that. The TikTok. That's the video. Isn't that a video? But there are things, the young people like that. I don't know what it is. But those are the kinds of things that we're seeing now, this social media explosion of video platforms. And so I guess you're kind of leaning towards, I don't know how viable they are for Calip, but I think it's interesting that you're at least exploring that. More of a comment than a question, I guess.
I thought David, your light was on. Did you? Nope. Very quickly, just so I can say this for Deanne, who's got to take the minutes, we are the members of the Calip Commission who are here with us tonight are Pat McQueen, David Stokes, and Rick Ruder. So just so you have that and I can give you those later. David, anything to say?
I didn't have anything to say. We also last year had a very special sponsorship with the library, where we use Calip funds to host and sponsor video training courses over the summertime, and we help them buy a lot of equipment as well. So that's another thing Calip's been doing, is sort of working with the library to have summer classes for grade school students, high school students of University City, to teach them how to do really good videos. So it's not just a 1 minute video on your phone, but it's actually an artistically properly done, effectively done video to teach people the art of the medium. And I hope we continue that. Thank you, Mayor.
Well, it is interesting that as the technology has advanced, I'm pleased that the commission is sort of as much as one can, reinventing itself and its mission, because in order for us to stay relevant with those funds, it's good that you're doing that. So thank you. Mr. Rose?
Mayor, the commission wanted to show for you a six-minute video that they grant funded for the shooting. So I will turn it in, and it is a indicates the history of the loop as well as some of the history of University City. So we'll show that. Yep.
Hey, St. Louis, ever find yourself wandering down on the loop and thinking, where the heck did Del Mar get its name? Probably not, but I'm going to pretend like you did and tell you all about this historic street. We all know that the Loop is an awesome place to go to do a ton of fun stuff. But what was this place like 100 years ago before King Joe Edwards? Turns out, not too different from what we have today. We'll look at the history of this area and more on Word on the Street, Del Mar. The Del Mar Loop is one of St. Louis's most iconic sections of street, lying smack dab in one of the city's oldest suburbs, University City. After the Louisiana Purchase in 1803, this land was made up of mostly humble farming communities miles away from the hustle and bustle of the big city. And the road that would become Del Mar Boulevard was known back in the day as Olive Street Plank Road in the rural section to the west, and Morgan Street within the St. Louis city limits to the east. It garnered that name from General Daniel Morgan, a hero from the American Revolutionary War, who led a famous group of snipers nicknamed Morgan's Sharpshooters. The legend states that while recruiting riflemen for his outfit, he made up targets with portraits of British officers and only accepted men who could hit the target on their first shot from 100 yards. As westward expansion continued in the second half of the 1800s, two landowners on either side of the Olive Street Plank Road wanted to freshen up the place by renaming the road after their East Coast home states. The only problem was, one person was from Delaware and the other person was from Maryland. In the end, they both compromised by combining the first three letters from each state, and Del Mar Boulevard was born, with the Morgan Street section following suit in 1933. By 1901, Del Mar developed into a fine destination for novel entertainment, and the trolley would pick you up in the city, take you right to the action, then loop back around to pick up more eager patrons, giving the Del Mar Loop its famous nickname. There was a public swimming pool, a roller rink, restaurants and pubs, an entire amusement park complete with games, rides, the locally famous Del Mar Gardens to stroll through. The neighboring Del Mar Racetrack was a popular destination from 1901 to 05 that offered a place for horse betting, bullfighting, and auto racing. Its inaugural race on July 1, 1901, cost just a dollar to get into, and at its peak in 1904, the track gave out $194,000 in winnings, about $5.5 million in today's dollars. The track closed the following year in 1905, but it still has an imprint on modern-day University City. The streets East Gate and West Gate, extending north of Del Mar, both roughly mark the boundaries of the racetrack. With talk of the big 1904 World's Fair becoming louder and more exciting, women's suffrage activist Edward Gardner Lewis purchased 85 acres just to the northwest of the fairgrounds in Forest Park. The area would serve as a nearby side attraction to the main attraction during the Great St. Louis Exhibition. Edward even paid for hundreds of tents to be put up in his own backyard for visitors of the fair to stay in what would become known as Camp Lewis. And the camp included all the amenities anybody would ever ask for. He was able to afford all this because he was the publisher of such magazines as the Women's Magazine and the Women's Farm Journal. This newly acquired land would be the headquarters of the Lewis Publishing Company, which he had constructed in 1903. The Women's Magazine building was his main headquarters until his financial collapse in 1915 due to mail fraud and other legal matters. The building stood vacant until it was dedicated as University City's City Hall on November 1, 1930, which it continues to be to this day. The building stands tall as a monument to the historic genesis of this area. In his heyday, Edward was passionate about making this area a high-class residential district. In 1906, He led the charge to incorporate this land as University City, and he decided that lions should guard this beautiful new city. Edward commissioned the Hungarian artist George Julian Zsolnay to create the iconic lion and lioness that would perch proudly atop the gates of opportunity, standing guard for University City. Zsolnay was known around town for his World's Fair exhibits, his Pierre Laclede statue outside of St. Louis City Hall, and the Confederate Memorial in Forest Park. When the lions were completed in 1909, the 40-foot-tall Pillars of Pride were the tallest structures in the area and could be seen for miles. Today, replicas made from fiberglass casts stand in place of the deteriorating concrete originals, but Zsolnay's vision and impact remain strong on the loop as the lion and lioness continue to look out over the region. And the region continued to grow. Beautiful homes and new businesses began popping up all over the newly incorporated University City. By 1920, the area became a booming commercial district and continued to grow in population and size throughout the 20th century, maintaining its reputation for being a great place to hang out throughout history. Today, just as it always has been, the Del Mar Loop continues to be a fantastic getaway with countless venues for escaping the mundanity of everyday life. And it can be argued that it's better now than it's ever been. A true melting pot of beautiful people and cultures coming together to experience something new and exciting. Whether it's eating some good food, getting some good drinks with friends, seeing some rock and live music or an exotic film, doing some shopping, or just taking a walk in a beautiful area with Missouri stars right under your feet. This place has got it all, and a trolley to take you there. And that's the word on the street.
I'm walking and talking about you.
Hey guys, thanks for watching. This channel's brand spanking new and I'm growing it up from scratch.
Mayor, that's a wrap.
Are there any other comments? David, do you have one?
Just, I believe there is a more current version of that, and we have an old version that had a placeholder for the picture of the original landowners, and that Charles Bronson was not actually an original landowner on Del Mar Boulevard. So I just want to make that quick correction. I think that was a placeholder while they were searching to get the updated photos, which I believe they have now.
Duly noted. I thought there was some history there. So is there any other matters to come before the council tonight before we move into closed session? Hearing none. Can we go ahead and close session now? Could I have a motion to go into closed session according to Missouri Revised Statute 610.021, legal and or personnel matters? Motion by Ms. Carr, seconded by Mr. Hales. Any discussion? If there's no discussion, Deanna, I'm going to real quickly, I'll call the roll if you'll just take it down. Is that okay? Councilmember Carr.
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson.
Aye.
Councilmember McMahon.
Aye.
Councilmember Hales.
Aye.
Councilmember Clay.
Aye.
Councilmember Cusick.
Aye.
Thank you. Thank you, folks, for coming tonight, and then we'll have our open session at 6:30.